everyone, to our Christmas Eve service here at All Saints. It's a delight to have each and every one of you. Throughout Advent, I preached about Christ's second coming because that's what the season of Advent is especially dedicated to doing, just preparing people for that day when Christ will come as judge to set the world to right and fully and finally establish peace and justice in all the earth. But tonight, on Christmas Eve, we move on fully to a new focus, and that is Jesus' first coming when, as the Creed said, he was born of the Virgin Mary. And the question that I want for us to consider tonight, and what I want for you to think of, not only while I'm preaching briefly here at the beginning, but throughout tonight as we read the various lessons about Jesus and sing songs about him, is the question that when Christ comes, what does he bring? Whether at his first coming, which we're celebrating tonight, or his final coming, or those times in which he continually comes to his people through the reading and preaching of his word, through the sacraments, through our prayers, he comes to his people. So when he comes, what does he bring with him? And to answer that question, I've printed for you this poem. I'm going to read it to you. You may not be a poetry person, but try and pay attention. It truly is a beautiful word about everything that's happening tonight. It's by A.R. Ammons, called The City Limits. When you consider the radiance, that it does not withhold itself, but pours its abundance without selection into every nook and cranny, not overhung or hidden. When you consider that birds' bones make no awful noise against the light, but lie low in the light, as in a high testimony. When you consider the radiance, that it will look into the guiltiest swervings of the weaving heart and bear itself upon them, not flinching into disguise or darkening. When you consider the abundance of such resource as illuminates the glow-blue bodies of gold-skeined wings of flies swarming the dumped guts of a natural slaughter, or the coil of dung, and in no way winces from its storms of generosity. When you consider that air or vacuum, snow or shale, squid or wolf, rose or lichen, each is accepted into as much light as it will take, then the heart moves roomier. The man stands and looks about. The leaf does not increase itself above the grass, and the dark work of the deepest cells is of a tune with may bushes, and fear, lit by the breath of such, calmly turns to praise. And this is not a poem written explicitly for Christmas, but it might as well been, because it speaks about radiance. It speaks about light, and that is exactly what Christ brings when he comes. The repeated refrain is, when you consider the radiance, when you consider the radiance of the light of God's beauty and life coming into our world, then your heart might grow roomier. Everything that A.R. Ammons says here about physical light, I want you to know that's also true of God. That he will look into the guiltiest swervings of the weaving heart and bear itself upon them. And that is good news. It is good news for people like us, for people like you, for people like me. And as you look back on this year, as we are often accustomed to doing at this time of year, and you consider your life, you may know more clearly and easily this year what Ammons talks about. Because maybe for you this year, you've known the swerving heart. You've known what it's like to have a heart that's not very steadfast, or a heart that's very faithful, or a heart that's stable. Maybe you've known things like divorce or death or sickness or sadness this year in particular. You've known a life that in no way has been in any way at peace. You need to know that the God of the Bible is one who comes to us. And he looks into the guiltiest swervings of every human heart and in no way winces from his storms of generosity. Whomever you are and whatever you face, he will pour out the abundance of his light upon you. And friends, that should amaze you. The physical light is indiscriminate upon what it shines, and so too is God. So whomever you are, whatever you face, whatever has been done to you, whatever you have done, please know that God longs to come to you now and to shine the light of his life into the most dark and broken and hurting places in your life. Everything that we'll read tonight, everything we'll sing, all of the gospel narratives about Jesus' birth point us to that truth. You may know that there are only two gospel narratives about Jesus' birth. One comes in the book of Matthew and the other comes in Luke, and they have different emphases. But one thing is common to them both, and that is that everyone involved, they're all covered in darkness. Everyone there is overshadowed by confusion and fear, and not only that, but also rejection. Every single person at the first Christmas was rejected. Matthew tells us that Joseph almost rejected Mary. He had plans to divorce her because he knew that she was pregnant and the child was not his. And then also in Luke, we read famously that there's no room for Mary and Joseph in the end. So Jesus was rejected by the world before he's ever even born into it. In Luke in particular, everyone's outside. Everyone is outside under the cover of darkness. Mary and Joseph, they're outside, out back in the ancient equivalent of a barn. Jesus' first breaths were outside air under the cover of the night sky. And the shepherds were the first to learn about Jesus' birth. They're out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Everyone is outside at night when Jesus is born into this world. But the divine life of God comes to them and shines in the person of Jesus on them. And that can be true of you as well tonight. So if you are here tonight and you would dare attempt to worship at this celebration of Jesus' birth, the first and foremost thing that you need to do is acknowledge yourself to be here, outside in the darkness, along with Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, outside in the dark, because that is where Jesus was born into this world, and that is where he is born now in the hearts of people. He comes to people outside in the dark, and that is the good news of a great joy, which is for all the people. That God has gone outside of heaven. He has come into the darkness of our world in order to shine the light of his life upon us, that he was born, that he died for the forgiveness of our sins, that he was raised from that death, and he ascended back into heaven, and someday he will come again for us. He left his home, and he returned to his home, but he will come again for us. And I want to end with a story about home, and a story about a dear friend of mine who passed away right before Advent began. Many of you all know her. Her name is Betty House, and she was a longtime member of All Saints. She died in November, just 1 week, actually, before her 80th birthday. And she wasn't sick. Her death was unexpected. She had no injury. But her unexpected death prepared me for Advent and Christmas in unanticipated ways. And Teresa Cavazos, who is another member of our church, she wrote a beautiful memory of Betty. And I want to read it to you. And in order for you to feel the full impact of it, you need to know that Betty, who was almost 80 years old, she was orphaned when she was 12 years old. Her mom and dad were killed together in a car accident as they drove to the UT-OU game in Dallas. And Betty never married, and she never had a family of her own. And she would sometimes tell folks who knew her well that she never fully felt at home in this world. She always felt in some way as though she was outside of everything else and everyone else. Teresa writes of her, "Betty told us about the time that she was retiring from Regent School of Austin. She had saved some money, but not much. And she wondered how she was going to live after that money was used. She said she was looking out the window, taking in the scenery of Regents on her last day and reflecting on her time there. It was then that she had a visitor. A father came to visit and told Betty that she had been the topic of conversation while he and his wife were folding clothes. They had decided to support Betty financially for the rest of her life. Upon hearing these words, she was speechless," which if you knew Betty was quite remarkable in and of itself, "literally speechless. She never dreamed of God providing for her in such a miraculous way. Not too long after she shared this story with us, she told us that her landlord was selling her condominium and she was going to have to move. The whole idea of looking for a place to live at 79 years old, leaving the home she had known for 15 plus years and packing was more than overwhelming for her. She shared how she felt great anxiety and despair and loneliness, even though we were there to support her. Our hearts were heavy for Betty. But God, at her death, in his infinite love and mercy, effectively said to her, I think, You don't need to look for a home. You don't need to pack. I've come to take you to your perfect home with me. I imagine her sitting at home and reflecting upon her time in her condo like she did when she looked out the window at Regents, and then God walked in, like the Father walked into Regents that day, and he carried her home. Friends, God has walked into this world for us, and he longs to come to each of us. He longs to come to you outside in your darkness, even tonight, to shine the light of life upon you and bring you into himself. And so my invitation to you this evening is that you would welcome him as he comes. Merry Christmas. Let me pray for us. Father, we do pray this evening that all of the mystery of the incarnation and Jesus' birth, that you would pour out the light of it upon us, and that we would know the beauty and the wonder of your grace and kindness to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.